Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
It's Christopher Moores, and this is the Creative Cosmos radio show. Thank you for tuning in tonight. The topic we are going to explore is called Secrets of the Galaxy. And if you'll go over to the website, you know the website, creativecosmos.org, and take a look a little ways down, you'll see the latest article I have posted is from a series of articles I have called Secrets of the Galaxy. And these are what you would call channelings from stars, observations from the stars' perspective. And I mean by stars, I mean stars in the sky. And some of what I'm going to talk about tonight is how that's possible. I'm going to demystify channeling tonight. At least from my perspective, I'm going to give you the ins and the outs and the rounds and the all-abouts. And hopefully by the time it's done, you'll have an understanding about what it is and maybe even be able to give it a try yourself. You know, the Secrets of the Galaxy articles will eventually be in Pearly Gates Press Volume 3. We currently have Pearly Gates Press Volume 1, which features kind of the precursor to these Secrets of the Galaxy articles called Solar System Secrets, where I give a viewpoint of some of the planets in our solar system and what their perspective is on things. And then in Pearly Gates Press Volume 2, I have, amongst other things, the super channelings, and I'll explain what that means a little while later, of where I actually have people you may have heard of, some historical figures, expressing a thought or two about the times humanity finds themselves in. Someday those volumes 1, 2, and 3 will be bound in the big Pearly Gates Press Unified Edition. All in due time. There are other book projects I'm working on as well. A couple free e-books I'd like to put out from my early writings. And I noticed there are some new archives up, two of the radio shows. Another four shows or so. So dive into those and check them out if you weren't able to catch the show live. One more item of business I wanted to take care of this evening is I am going to announce the name of our icon, our BBS radio icon. And very soon you may see him moving around. It's in the works. And I don't think we ever announced his name. We tried to give you a chance to look it up, but I'm just going to announce it now. It is BB Ohm. Yes, that's right. It's called BB Ohm. And as Don would say, it's the evolution of Ohm. So there you have it. BB Ohm's our guy, the BBS radio icon. Ta-da! Woo! All right. If you're tuning in this evening, want to join in the banter, or have any thoughts about what I'm going to be talking about channeling and eventually some topics like telepathy and the third eye. And then later towards the second hour, I'm going to talk about the cosmic war that's going on even as we speak. Beings from other places in human skin. I'll explain how that works. If you'd like to call in, give me a call, toll free. Here's the one number worldwide you can use to reach me live. 877-876-5227. Give it again. 877-876-5227. Now, to get into a state of mind of where we'll be able to get the most out of the conversation, I'd like to start with a little meditation here. And the meditation many times can be silent, and other times can be, as I've said before, a way of looking at things. And the meditation that's done the most for me, I would have to say, is cultivating the observer. And just watching things without forming judgment. And the key is that you get to a blank state, literally where you're watching, you're just reflecting. Things are going in your eyes and bouncing off your consciousness. And you're completely aware of what's occurring on all the different levels, but you're doing nothing more than watching it. So you come to know it, but you don't go into it. And then you keep observing. And this observation, and even as I'm talking, I'd like you to practice this and consider this for yourself as well, that we often have our mind cycling through thoughts about all kinds of things. Could be fears for tomorrow. Could be worries of things that happened today, earlier, or even 20 years ago. Mind can just pull these things up. And often we want to kind of hold them down or push them back or keep them from cycling through or not pay attention to them or not look at them. But the best thing to do and the way to get the cycle to stop, to finally follow through and dissipate, is to observe it, to come to know it. Not only know it, but know that which it causes you to do and the results of that, the karma that your habits are accruing for you on a daily basis. It's a matter of deeds. Often we forget that we are the source of our own struggle sometimes. We may have cast out some strange vibes that brought the same in return. And it's not a matter of saying that's wrong. It's a matter of seeing it, observing it. And the next time you have the inclination to act through your habit, seeing it come upon you and enter in your field of vision, you will not identify with it, and you will allow it to go through as well. So it will come and it will go. But this time, you will not have gone along for the ride. You will be the observer. You will stand by the roadside as all these various influences come through. And the more you're able to cultivate this state of mind, the more you're able to let in to your field of vision. The more space you provide for not just people in this world, but entities from all realms, and the more you're able to completely tune into the capacity of what we can do in this human body, if we were to be able to accept completely that it's possible. I'd like to demystify channeling, because sometimes we talk about it and we hear about it and we wonder what the heck it's all about. Or speaking with Amy about it earlier today, she's brought up the perspective of how sometimes it comes across as if some people have this secret knowledge of how to do it and everybody else is just out of the loop or something. So we want to open it up, explain it in detail, make this like a treatise that we could reference. So above all, at the base of channeling and the possibility of getting messages from other realms is to have a state of receptivity, a state of openness, of where you are waiting and not just for an hour or a couple hours, but all the time. You are always open and waiting, ready to serve energy that comes your way that you can relate to. So myself, I walk around, I might have send out certain inclinations, which I'll get to in a moment here, but generally all the time I'm ready to go with inspiration. This was something I learned from Zen and from the Zen tradition and some of my teachers, that you go when inspiration comes, that you can't command it, you can't put it in your context. You wait and you are open. And when it comes, you recognize it, and you open up to it, and you facilitate its flow, and you let it come to its full fruition, and polish it up so it's something of beauty. And one thing we do is hold up our mental lexicon for these forces to pass through. And what I mean by that is every word I know, every reference I know, every image I know, every symbol I know, every way of labeling things that there could be that's ingrained in my mind, spirit in some way has at its disposal. And it's like they just have to push the energy through that area that they want to highlight. And this is why I like to also call it sometimes speaking bebop. As many of you know, I was spend much time with jazz musicians and played a lot of jazz, trumpet. Still play some once in a while. Still write a jazz tune here and there. And one thing they do in jazz is they learn, it's like speaking a different language. And they learn all these different words, so to speak, like what they call them as licks, or, you know, little phrases like boobity-boobity-boobity-boobity-boobity-boobity-boobity-boobity-boobity-boobity. And if somebody played it at a certain time, in a certain place, it means something. And then if you reference that, you're eliciting that response. Yeah, I remember that guy who played that lick. He was really cool. Or sometimes you can play a funny tune. You can reference a cool tune. You know, in the same manner, when I'm receiving a flow of inspiration regarding spiritual matters, I can reference through my mental lexicon all the traditions I've read about, all the history I've read about, all the psychological understandings I've come to know in time, all my own experiences, all the books I've read, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, all the websites I've gone through. It's all there to draw from. So that's one reason I call it super channeling, is that I've developed enough space that I can be free of my own mind, observe this mental lexicon and have it at my disposal. And so I can also see someone on the side and allow them to come in, share my mind, and go ahead and say what they have to say with my mind, so to speak. You know, I always have control, and usually it's a gracious, easy kind of experience. It's very pleasant because it's like a uniting, because after it's over, you feel moved and changed by the experience. Now, there's a couple different ways we link to individuals. I got a couple different examples, one of which is the Beethoven example. You know, Beethoven in my life. I've listened to Beethoven for a majority of my life, and he was one of my great early influences. I would absorb his spirit and consider the man deeply. And so you can get to know someone through their art, or, you know, through their writing or through their music. You can get really close to individuals because, for one, in that moment of time when they were composing, they were pouring themselves into the work. So the better the work, the more of the man or woman is frozen in time with the creation. And so it truly is outside of time. And so you can, through their work, become to know them. I know that I feel that those who have read my work, read my books, looked at my artwork, enjoyed them, those who write me in the emails and some of the various chat rooms I go through, that really means a lot to me because it fulfills the circle of sharing and helps give meaning to my life as well. So the Beethoven example, someone I'm very familiar with, it's almost like, well, there's one way of, first you consider the universe and all things as one, and the being that is in this body is also the being that's in all bodies. And so if you can get to that state, which is outside of self-definition and above, just kind of above it all, above even life in the body, just through that observer state, then through the whole of the universe, you can slide over to other beings, other entities, and feel their vibe and share their mind and tune in. So if I were to conduct Beethoven, I wouldn't think to myself, how would he do this? What did he mean by this? Because many conductors do that. They try to figure out what the secret meaning was, or they listen to how this conductor did it, this conductor did it, this orchestra did it, this orchestra did it. Myself, I would tune into the source, link into Beethoven, and I would become Beethoven. I would be Beethoven for all intents and purposes in that moment. And then when I conducted, I would pull that energy through, and you can express it right out to the orchestra. I'm almost ready to conduct Beethoven 7 right now. You saw my hands. I'm just feeling Beethoven in my hands, ready to express. And then also consider this, too, that, you know, one thing I realized once is that I heard Ode to Joy, the tune Beethoven, many people love the most of Beethoven, from Symphony No. 9. Do 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 do. Many of you know it. But I actually heard that in the universe, and I thought to myself, well, Beethoven must have heard that same thing. And so you see, in the moment of expressing that, Beethoven wasn't just that man. He had opened up something universal, something beyond himself. So when you also come to know that which is beyond yourself, then you have a common understanding. So So Beethoven and myself, having experienced the same thing, are united. And there's also a more literal coming forward that happens sometimes in channeling. As I said, I create a space of openness, a space of where I am awaiting. And one day I started, and also it starts forming too, you know, it kind of comes in and you get early hints of it. At least for me, that's how it comes. You know, you're open, then you might feel it a little bit. Something will start coming to mind. Then it'll come to mind a little bit more. And then it'll almost feel as if you're getting a gentle nudge, like it comes up again and again. And finally, if you've gotten used to it and become open to how this works, you'll realize, oh, here's a presence. There's a presence here, and they're wanting to express something. And so then I might go to place to write it down, go sit at my computer desk, and then I'll just completely open my mind and allow it to flow right through me, uncensored, uncolored by where I think it might be going. See, this is key. If you really want to ever try this, you've got to not draw conclusions. You've got to not define things as they're going. You've got to just be open and let it go where it wants to go. If you truly are delivering a message from someone else. And often there will be synchronicities or universal confirmations. In this case that I'm speaking of, I felt someone step forward into my energy field, and I realized it came into my mind, it formed into my mind all of a sudden that here was Michael Landon coming into my energy field. Now, this was somebody I was vaguely familiar with. I'd seen him on the television before. And, you know, I always liked him, enjoyed seeing him and what he did. But he was of no major significance in my mind. And then I sat down and I wrote this message just right out what came through me, and it was very clear. You see, I don't ever think it out. I never think, okay, what am I going to write? It literally writes itself. The thoughts coalesce. They form. And if you do it right, you just blank, and then the energy pushes through your mind, and it coalesces into something that then reveals what you can tangibly feel when you read it. It's a vibration. You're encoding a taste of the being that had come to call. And after I wrote that article and sent it out onto the internet airwaves on a couple of different places, I got a very overwhelming response because people were touched by it. And it was because they felt that. They felt it was different. They felt that it was an energy there. And later that day, not long after I finished writing it, I sat down kind of overwhelmed, like a little tired. It was like a very emotional kind of experience. And I turned on the television set just to relax. And almost immediately, I came upon the show Highway to Heaven. And this is a emotional, dramatic show from the 80s. And I had even watched it when I was a kid, but this day it had special meaning, and I watched it, and it was a very powerful show, and I remember it because Amy came home to find me in front of the television set watching Highway to Heaven, the show from the 80s, completely in tears, because I felt this overwhelming presence, like, yes, it was real, this confirmation, this shimmering in my soul. And I watched that show day after that, and I saw why. He was portraying an angel. And why does an artist portray an angel? Because they feel angelic inside. And I believe that man was angelic, and I believe myself to be angelic in that was part of why I felt like we made that connection, that it was through that vibration of angel, of giving, of serving, of being available and trying to bring some of that goodness to bear in situations you encounter. And sometimes if you have to make a stand or make the tough call or stand up to the harsh influence. And so there's a broader kind of channeling, and then there's a more specific kind of channeling, and anywhere in between it comes and goes. So if you read it and are interested in it, I would say to just feel how it resonates with you. You don't have to draw a conclusion for sure, you know, or you don't even have to know whether, you know, yeah, it's more just what it does for you, because the channeling at its ideal will have an effect. It'll almost feel like a cleansing or something that helped open your eyes about something, not really something that will try to necessarily influence you towards anything specific. It's just like, hey, for your information, here you go. Here's some stuff. Here's commentary. So just take it in stride. Take it for what it means to you, you know, and just consider how it feels. And not all channelings will feel right to everybody at any given time. And hey, who can say what channeling is this or that? Or there's really no way to know for sure who's doing what. It's all got to be up to you. But that's fine. Just use your own awareness. And see, that's where, again, we go to that space. We need our own space. We don't want to encounter something and let it start forming our thinking for us. We can allow it to go through our own mind matrix and add to us what we can have added from it. And it may be all kinds of things, a little trigger here, a little trigger there, idea, something that rings a bell. Any of us on the path who have done exploration know those moments of enlightenment where we've suddenly become aware of something that opens our horizons to something new, tremendous, and wonderful. And if you ask why me, or why would it be, you know, why, how could I be the one who is able to tune into these things, you know, either yourself, or if you ask that about myself, I'll tell you how I think of why I am able to receive these messages. It's easy for me to understand when I also consider how it looks from the other side. I'm like an open door. I have an open invitation. And believe me, there's many beings on the other side that are very anxious or eager or happy or any kind of things. There are many, many messages that are ready to come through anytime someone's willing to open up to them. But I send out a specific kind of vibration. Not everybody would come to my field, but those who feel drawn to my frame of reference, what I know, my light, they'll be able to see me very clearly on the other side, because my energy will go up there and there will be an openness and a connection, a place for them to relate. And so that is also how you can imagine your own energy opening up. If you ever wanted to try this yourself and have not tried it before, you have to imagine your own energy going up into the astral plane and then suggest an openness there, and then little by little try to manage what you come across and express it in some way if you feel so inclined. So that's an introduction to the channeling concept. I'm going to come back after a moment here and talk about a couple related topics, telepathy and how that works and how that comes to bear here, and also imagination. So hang with me. Enjoy this tune of mine called Space Grass.
I want a new hat,
it's been quite a while. One that makes me happy, one that makes me smile. It is no secret, upon my head is a brilliant noggin that is well read. Keep the energy from leaking out the holy crown. Seek to somehow stop the fleeing out of bounds. A limited transistor, a mental block and blister, plug the hole. Now you know I want a new car to drive around that takes me snappy throughout the town. When I arrive there, fix me a drink, then I can kick back and start to think. Keep the energy from bleeding out my brain. Seek to somehow stop the searing inner pain. A limited transistor, a mental block and blister, plug the hole. Now you know. I could walk through walls then with pure insight. An astral traveler without a home. A blade of space grass faded to roam.
About our topic matter or about anything else you've got on your mind this evening, give me a call at 877-876-5227. Yes, this is toll-free, 877-876-5227. Put us in your speed dial. Give us a call anytime. You can call me at the Creative Cosmos or any of our show hosts if you need some spiritual light in your life anytime. That's what we're here for at BBS Radio. BBSRadio.com. Tell your friends. Join in. Somehow. Get involved. This is an evolving, growing concept. Something that's going to be a whole new wave in the world. Glad you could join us this evening. Moving along to an aspect of channeling, it basically happens telepathically. And I'd like to talk about just how that works a little bit. We have, this happens when our mind is in that open state of readiness I talked about earlier, where it's just waiting, it's open. You know, I like to think of trees just before it rains, how they're reaching up towards the sky. And that's pretty much what the finer parts of your brain are doing. And believe me, you can literally learn to feel the little fibers in your brain. I can feel mine. I can feel my brain pathways firing. I can feel when my consciousness is in the back of my brain or if it's up toward the frontal lobes. Or when I'm having visions, I can see exactly what parts of the area are, what parts of the brain are firing. And when you're receiving these, they come in on the subtler pathways, and they have to be unoccupied in order to receive any messages from the outside, from the higher realms. So many people don't hear anything or receive anything and thus wonder about it all the more because they're occupied. Their mind's always focused on something else, always thinking about this, thinking about that, running over this, running over that. Very few people in the modern world have the kind of quietness and space that then lends to being able to receive any kind of messages from anywhere else. Actually, many people wouldn't even consider it possible or believe themselves to simply be one body and mind in one tiny place. I know that's hard to believe, but some people still think that way. But it's all right. They'll open up to the greater soul journey in their time, each in their own way. And through telepathy, we can communicate with all of life. We can communicate with stars, planets, trees, animals, and humans. In order to do it, like I said, we have to be quiet in the mind, not having a lot of activity going on. We also have to be emotionally feeling pretty balanced, pretty clear. Otherwise, those energies will be pulling down the vibrations, or once they enter in, starting to color them according to personal influence. But if you can just open up and be clear and allow it to come through, as I said, you kind of blend together, because you can't think of yourself just in the body and in the mind, and you can't really think of yourself in accordance with time or space limitations. You simply are. And although it might seem like a planet is much bigger than you, You each exist. And the more you realize of your own vastness, the more you would actually feel like you could relate to other entities. Normally we would think of a planet as being humongous and far away and a dead thing, but behind their body, just like behind our body, are more and more layers of energy. And these energies can interrelate. And so we look in the direction. So for instance, when I was writing the Solar System Secrets, I got the first one. The first one came in on its own. And I realized that it was actually, for a period of time, I was receiving direct transmissions from the sun. Basically, the sun, through that, it helps straighten my mind pathways up to how this all worked, through just linking into that solar mind. It really helped clear my mind up, and now I can link to other things as well. And so you keep it in mind, like for instance, I was like, I am now open for messages from the solar system, from the planets. But then I waited for weeks and weeks and weeks. I wrote these over months. But I just threw it out there that whenever it's ready, I'm ready. And then I kind of forgot about it. I was still open, but once I sent it out to the universe, I let it go. And then in time, it just started coming into my mind and forming into my mind. And what I learned was not to doubt. The whole key to all of this stuff flowing through is not to doubt it. It's not to cut it off. Follow it through. And also to allow it to go where it will, because many times the idea will be different and even more brilliant than you could have preconceived. Or, for instance, you can easily interact with trees. You know, people will think it's comical if you imagine a human being just simply saying, "Hey, tree, what's up?" blah, blah, blah. Even though that is possible in rare circumstances. Maybe it used to not even be that rare. But you don't even need to go that far. You can simply try to link your own vibration to that of the tree and kind of just inside ask for its name, for instance. I'll explain something that occurred to me in an interaction with a tree and a way a tree might respond. I was hanging out near an oak tree, and a very vibrant, enormous oak tree on an early summer day. And I sat there for a while in quietness, just allowing the tree's energy to wash over me and for us to find some kind of union and harmony in our vibrations. And I suggested inwards, I just thought to myself, and very quietly, it doesn't need to be very strong. I mean, actually, it's probably better if it isn't a very intense thought, but just kind of, you have to take note. Or I thought to myself, in towards the tree, I said, "Well, what's your name?" And it referenced my frame of reference for Casper the Ghost. Now, this is another example. I'm not always sitting around thinking about Casper the Ghost, but I watched the cartoon when I was a kid, so it's in there. So it referenced Casper. That was just a way of referencing that name. And believe me, you could say Casper to a bunch of people, and they would be like, "Oh, Casper the Friendly Ghost." And there you go. It demonstrates exactly what I'm talking about. An easy way to say Casper, and then it went like this, Casper with a J. And then it kind of showed me the J in place of the C. And so then I realized, well, the tree is saying its name is Jasper. And I didn't doubt it. It just came into my mind. And see, one of the things is, yes, it did come into my mind through imagination. Because imagination is where our mental imagery and words and our whole symbolic frame of reference. It's in our imagination. And imagination itself is real and is indicative of a realm. It's just a different way of operating, a different form of attentiveness, a different form of attention. And it's the place where we meet. It's the place where we in a body can meet beings from the other side, no matter what they are. And we don't have to get clouded into very dreaminess necessarily. We can, but just we need to allow, see, the whole point of imagination is to allow things to come in. When you think about it, what is imagination? Well, something is formed, something, you get an idea. And where does the idea come from? You kind of draw it right from the universe. It comes in from the outside somewhere. If it's an inspired idea, it comes in from the outside. And we can get all kinds of different lines coming into us that we can pick up. And over time, and the more we get space from it, the more we'll be able to trace what it is that's coming in. And through this whole process, we also bring in the third eye and how the third eye operates, because that is the focal point of our awareness as we watch all these things transpire. And in the third eye, in the place of resting between our eyes, inwards. There, time and space do not apply. And this is where we tune into the sun, for instance. Our third eye and the sun can link directly up. They can become one, and you can share the mind and the thoughts of the creator of this solar system. Again, as I've said before, I'll remind you, the sun is 99.8% of the matter of the solar system. We are specks of light. Given life by the energy of the sun in relation with the water of the earth, would we not be able to form a link to share understanding? We can. We just have to accept that it's possible and not form any conclusions about ourselves that we think are true. We are in perfect position at the crossroads of many different things. We're standing on a planet just drinking in the passing forces. And just watch. Watch them come in. Watch them go through. Watch them go. Because we need space even from the astral input. We always need to maintain our own silent space beyond it all. And some of the beings that you can encounter are very powerful and very influential. Imagine you are in a state of receptivity, as I described before, and you're meditating, and suddenly the eternal eye shows up and is staring right at you. And I don't just mean the symbol, flat symbol. I mean a 3D eye that goes and looks right at you and then starts putting thoughts in your mind. Thoughts that seem outlandish at first, because they're so far out there. And that seems to be what I do, people out there listening. Seems again and again as if in this life I'm thrown to the edge and beyond. And I've been given some unique abilities to decode what I come across, and a heart that desires to share that with any who could benefit from that. People who also are in a state of receptivity, so they can enjoy the wonders of the universe, the vastness of the unexplainable, and most importantly, to remember themselves. Not just in this life, but their whole journey. Imagine the crown chakra as like a vortex going up into the sky. And sometimes spirit will come down right into that vortex, pass right through your third eye, and then come right through your fifth chakra as a creative expression. So even beyond entities and gods and mythological creatures, all of which are there, believe me, that's why you enjoy Lord of the Rings, or Chronicles of Narnia. Not simply because it's a fairy tale or a fantasy, but because it some part of you wishes you were there, or some part of you takes great comfort in the representation of those icons, or somehow you almost remember instinctively that reality. And in our mind these days, as we pass from image to image, if we watch a movie and then watch the movie of our lives for a while, and then watch the TV for a while, then watch a movie, then watch the movie of our lives, we're really flashing from one form of input to another. From the state of the watcher. And so eventually, particularly in the minds of Americans today, reality and fantasy blend together. The main issue to consider is that, you know, they've blended together in a mental from watching the TV and experiencing things in the culture of the TV, it's all been put into the form of like a idea, a concept. It remains the symbol, and we forget that the symbol is a representative of the higher mythological quality, which doesn't get reduced to the symbol. See, the whole point of symbols is that they point to something greater. They point for you to look for yourself and experience it, because that is the only way, once you get beyond concept, is to experience for yourself. And pretty soon you start realizing that the whole existence is alive, and that we are never alone, and we can relate to all of life if we speak in the language of life. And we can see, really, telepathy is adjusting your mind to the frequency of the entity you're exposed to. You don't expect the entity to speak your language, because we are the ones uniquely capable of adaptation in this regard. We are the ones who can share mind with other creatures. And you'll notice it, I mean, even particularly from animals too, you can tell what's on their mind a lot of the time. They'll look at you, and often the context itself will be explaining to you what the animal's going on about, and that will help you hear their thought. You can learn to interpret it. The key is listening, creating that space, quieting down all that which distracts us from listening. Because first we need to hear our own inner voice, our own soul's inclination, discover our own journey. Really, you don't want to get too involved in channeling until you've gotten a start on centering yourself. Otherwise, you could get very confused, and it could all become just a crazy abstract idea that becomes more confusing than anything. You have to be centered and on your own path. And then you could pass through these fields of energy, pass through these constructs of information, and gain whatever comes naturally through that experience. Because we don't need to hold on to anything. We simply need to be exposed to things and whatever is meant to be revealed will be intrinsic to the phenomenon itself. We will know it. It will just be there. And then that's often how we'll remember the material. Well, that was the book that opened me up in this regard. So that was the book that taught me this lesson. Because later on, once we see it more clearly, we'll remember that which opened us up. And then, like myself, I often share books of all sorts because I'll remember a specific thing or a specific area of consciousness that a book taught me. And when I see somebody else going through that, I'll say, hey, check this book out. Because although it helped me to understand that very thing. Leading forward into the next hour, we're going to start talking a little bit more about our star heritage. And in honor of that theme of star beings that we are, I worked on a tune today. Sometimes it's a joy knowing that I'm going to be on the air a little bit later. Sometimes that very day I'll cook up a little sound feast. I'll make a song or I'll rework an old tune like I did today. The tune you're going to hear in just a moment is a tune a couple years old that I reworked today because just in formulating this series of concepts and putting together this show, this tune came right into my mind. And I thought it would be cool to kind of rework it because it's super exciting to be able to share it with you. So especially something that has the freshness of having been created this very day and something that leads forward to our second hour topic so well. So we'll take a little break now, hear our station identification, hear the tune, hear a little something about me, and we'll be on our way to hour two. Hope you stick with us. Here's the tune called Star Child.
Wake up, sleepy dreamer.
Star Child in the morning moonlight, see the glow. Star Child, feel the wonder of it all. Star Child, hope for higher power, so you grow. Star Child, heed the inner curtain call. Then when you sleep and are dreaming,
buddy. Welcome back. This is Chris Moores, and you're listening to Creative Cosmos Radio Show. And the topic of our show this evening has been Secrets of the Galaxy. We've gone over how the channeling processes work. We talked a little bit about telepathy, imagination, our third eye, and how the whole existence is alive. if you'd like to join in with our conversation this evening, give me a call. 1-877-876-5227. And if you give me a call, we can chat a little bit. I know some of you out there must have had some experiences of getting a message in some form. Maybe you thought you heard the thoughts of an animal before, or you felt that you were from another place, perhaps. Like you looked at the stars and you felt as if your home was somewhere out there. And in my own process of self-revelation, I've come to realize that I am a being that has come from the stars, someplace else. That I'm a traveling energy entity that decided to swoop into this solar system and take a few spins around planet Earth. And many of us have come in from other places and cycle around planet Earth for a while. So when I hear about aliens or alien races or beings from other star systems, I usually conceive of them as having come in and come into the body, because the body is where we meet and act things out. Now, there's also another layer superimposed on that from the fourth dimension, the first layer of the astral is just out of sight. There's also a whole bunch of entities hanging out there too, looking down and influencing things. But then there's also entities from beyond that, from the higher vibrations, that have come in and incarnated in bodies as well, that are trying to ground the spiritual energy and hold back the influence of those on the lower astral realms. So when you consider it that way, there's a cosmic war going on. Beings from different places with different interests here in human bodies at the same time. And there's a whole bunch of humans that are from here, kind of homegrown spirits that I refer to as terrestrials. People actually from the Earth. So there's people from the Earth who then are not yet aware of their own star reality. Then there are beings from many different places who then have the capability of remembering back to their star heritage and then re-assimilating all of what they know in their greater reality. In other words, you can remember the being that you were before you became compressed into the Earth. Now see, when we're normally thinking about past lives, we're just thinking about the small cycles, the orbits of the spirit around the Earth. But when we can think even larger and think outside of all of our lives as well, then we can get to a whole nother way of conceiving ourselves. You see, because life on Earth itself is a connotation. So not only do you want to assimilate all your past lives and be one whole soul, you also want to be able to see yourself outside of the context of the planet Earth as well, to be able to remember the being that you were before you came to this solar system. And if you begin to remember yourself in that way, the physical manifestations will be obvious. Your energy will change. You'll resonate more as light and less as simply the physical body. And through shining that light, you will make a difference to any you come across. And becoming the realization of that on this earth at this time, you start then coming closer to those who also resonate in the same way. Because no matter what you are thinking about, even if it feels like it's outlandish, like, hey, I'm from star system somewhere else, there'll be other people who also think the same. And when you actually do find people who've come to understand the same things that you have done, it has a very relaxing effect, it has a deeply settling effect, because then you are truly amongst people who understand you. And this is why many of us are finding ourselves shifting into groups of people, new groups of people, soul groups, people that maybe we traveled here with, for instance. See, some people we have gotten to know since our incarnations on Earth, and some we knew before we even came here. Now, also take note of this, that we don't all then jump in the body at the same time. Some may stay back outside of the incarnation process, observing what happened. Now let's say you and I have been cruising through the universe, saw the sun, heard that was a pretty cool place to visit our solar system, so we cruised in. First, we wanted to go up to planet Minerva, the asteroid planet, again, like we did many years ago, but found out this time that it was blown up. And so then we saw that there was life happening on planet Earth, and we had heard a little bit about it, but we hadn't heard back from many of the people that had first visited there. And so we zoom in and decide to take a look. But a couple of the people in our group hold back. Now we zoom in and we get enjoying life on Earth, and then we get really caught up there for a while. Now, if those people on the outside wanted to send us a message, how would they do it? You know, some could jump in a body themselves and try their best to remember who they were and set up parameters where they could remember who they were so that they could then come to know themselves and then tell you what's going on so that you can then come to remember yourself and you could both get out of here. That's one way. Or another way is through searching for someone who is in a state of receptivity, whose energy rises up into the astral realm, that they can then share a message with. Now, some of these entities that also come from somewhere else that have a very broad perspective may seek to offer wisdom and guidance to humanity, particularly to counterbalance some of the other energies that are at work on the planet as well. Some of the energies of transition, Shiva, the destroyer, dancing around as the cycle begins to shift through. And so when you consider all these entities at play on a planet Earth, there are probably more than you might imagine, more people than you might imagine that are aware of some aspect of not only their past life knowledge and secret society knowledges in those past lives, but also probably in some manner or another are in contact with extraterrestrials of some nature. It's not that uncommon of a thing. Look how far we've come in our understanding just in 20, 30 years. What had seemed unimaginable is now part of popular culture. Most people can accept that, and that somebody can contact a ghost or can contact a loved one who has passed. And they think that that's likely because they love the person and the person was so close to them and their family. But as I said earlier, it also works in the same way. You can draw forth other entities that for one reason or another you've come into contact with. So then, considering this cosmic war, some of these lower astral influences coming through the people and extend out, and then you consider the beings of light grounding with more spiritual energy all around the planet. This is like when you see on internet sites, everyone are referring to light workers and, you know, spirit warriors and... Well, there's a whole group of people on the planet right now, and many of our hosts on BBS Radio are among them, that have an understanding of their own greater selves. In a sense, they've realized their own mythology. They've come to the broader understanding of their being. And so they can weave a vast tapestries of insight referencing their own path. Because in the end, the truth of our life is one and the same, and yet we have many paths to get there. And the more we enjoy and share these paths, the more it just enriches our experience of existence. And the energy the light workers are grounding simply is a steadfastness to reality. We're simply recognizing what is and not allowing ourselves to be swayed to think it is other than what it is out of some kind of convenience. And this is why part of finding individual freedom is giving up the concept of self. Because only in having a limited idea of self is anybody able to control you. Because they control you just are based on perception and based on how they make you feel about yourself, or through maintaining illusions by constantly referencing them. So if you cut the self, if you cut the idea of yourself as an ego, an external entity relating to the world, see, that's it. We're just simply not, we just can't internalize the external reactions people have to us and think that is who we are. Poof. It's gone. Clear as a bell. That can't be who we are. That's just the surface. That's just the tiniest layer of skin. And we go deeper and deeper and deeper, all the way to the wellspring of creation itself. And then we dive into that stream and allow ourselves to dissipate in the flow. We find that we are everywhere and that we are all things. And in this space, all secrets of the galaxy are revealed in time. Each of us who seeks will come to know all that our heart desires, because that which is propelling us to seek is our own future calling us, our own potential longing to be actual. The throes of nature, unavoidable, unmistakable. And when we surrender to the inevitable, the pulse of life, the expression of nature, we will release and overflow, and this will be the opening of our heart. And through that opening, we will learn for ourselves what is meant by such words as the kingdom of God. No longer just an idea. Our newly cleared eyes that no longer distort simply take in all frequencies and let them pass through, clearly observing. Understanding is instantaneous. And each moment allows for unforeseen possibilities. And what a relaxed state to be in, resting in our nature with an open heart, expressing as existence itself. We demonstrate in everything we do that which we hope to represent, our own philosophy is useless unless it's something we live, unless it's something that is a part of us. We are one with it. We have come to what we understand through experience and deep reflection. And again they say, remember yourself. Remember yourself. Because somewhere inside, we already know that which we will become. This is one of the concepts that if you can understand, you will sink into whole new layers of personal revelation almost immediately. Because part of us seeks, we seek, we seek, we seek. But then at some point in time, we have to accept completely where we are in the moment. And that becomes a doorway. We notice more of ourselves. Something that was always there. And then once this is uncovered, we then see our whole pathway. We see everything that has ever happened in retrospect, now from that newly awakened perspective. This is the sign of a deeper understanding. The fundamental has changed. Our whole entire view of life, of reality, has shifted. And if we live in a fluid way, this will happen again and again and again. Not just for us, but because that is the nature of things. Change, 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 change. And when we can accept change, accept that we are going to change, except that those we love are going to change, except that everything's always changing. Life starts moving in a flow rather than in snippets, in chopped up pieces. And underneath it all is the basic vibration upon which this all dances, is the Om vibration. And it's just a vibration underneath and within all creation. And through that, we find complete peace. Not just in the cessation of activity, but in the connection and linking with the source. We all have our personal link. There's a quality which can't be described in words, but perhaps they can be used to urge you to experiment, to help create the condition in which a new understanding can arrive. There is a quality in the meditation that's not just quietness, it's not just entities, but when you really sink into that Om, when you really sink into the link to the source, you literally feel the squeezing of the pulse of existence, and you feel the heartbeat. When you feel your own heartbeat, the universe itself has one just the same, and that life is just pulsing through you. The whole area around us, the whole of life around us is pulsing in that same way. And there's a whole dance going on, a brilliant flow of energy, a song that never ends, of which we're a part. And it can invigorate us every moment if we can remember that we are a part of it. Join in the celebration. Join in to the true life on Earth. The universal creation of life on Earth. Remember to live it. It's your birthright. It was given for you to experience. And in this manner, we resist the hell on Earth and the darkness that pervades certain corners of certain places. Simply by living affirmatively, being part of the celebration and sharing that celebration, we send good vibes that wrap the globe. And each one of you that joins in makes all the difference. The whole universe is affected by you. You are a part of the whole. We are all in this together. We all share this place together, and we each have a right to experience it in the way that it would naturally unfold for us. Simple respect for one another is all that would ever be necessary to achieve that. Sometimes the kingdom of God is also called the Garden of Eden, or another name that comes from the East that to me is analogous is called the Lotus Paradise. Something about the word Lotus Paradise gives just a little hint of the reality that I've perceived for myself, that when you tune into the source and you allow it to pump through you, you become the blooming of the lotus. You open up, and your natural talents and abilities and potential capabilities are released, and you are completely invigorated, and your song is being added to the universal chorus. And so I wrote a song about it, and it's coming up next called Lotus Paradise.
We are a part of a lotus paradise made of love, so all the future Buddhists grow. Now you know why you're here. We are a part of a lotus paradise made of light, so all the children learn to see reality beyond the dream. Life's dream, liquid and light flowing, a song of God.
Everybody, we're back for this final stretch of the Creative Cosmos radio show tonight. If you'd like to call in, comment on anything you've heard so far this evening, I'll give you one more shot to do it. I'll give you one time with a number here. 877-876-5227. And we're rounding out the name of the show, which was Secrets of the Galaxy. We've explored many different areas of thought and considered all kinds of possibilities that humanity can achieve, not just in the future, but now. And that's one thing about a lot of what we envision. We envision something happening in the future and think, wow, I think maybe someday mankind might achieve this or might achieve that. But that's all of what could happen now. It's simply a matter of bringing it to the now, realizing that everything doesn't happen just in the physical. If we could get that far, I mean, that's really part of Freud's great contribution and part of psychology's role with is what we did kind of break the threshold that, no, we aren't just the surface reality in relationships. And Freud began that documentation of the mind and habits and observing so many people, and it was picked up upon and developed into what's become modern psychology today. And it goes on. And see, I believe also that psychology evolves when it incorporates the Zen perspective, the perspective of universal reality, the greater vision of things. So we go even further. We don't just acknowledge the mind, we open up the spirit. We open up to the fact that we have chakra system and auric fields, and that many different things are at play when we interact with each other, and that much of what is on the outside world has not caught up to this inner reality. And many people who are feeling the deeper inner reality are now beginning to open up about it, are beginning to talk more about it, and that is how society becomes affected, one person at a time, by these ripples of awareness that go out amongst the populace. And when each of us takes up the mission as our own to facilitate the process wherever we recognize it, to be there for someone who is undergoing the process, who is becoming awakened to their greater being. Because the call itself will bring people out in search of it. When you realize some of the greater existential truths, you get so excited you would love everybody to know it. And then after a while you realize that each person will find it when it's their time to find it. And it's good to share it and put it out there and make it available. Resources that make the difference. Because part of what we're doing is as well as translating both unlearning all that which had limited us, and then learning about ourselves in a new way, in a new plane of reality, going on and on and on. So much more to learn. And it's a great adventure. It's a relief of the pressure of being trapped in the circumstance that only considers the outer. And I'll tell you, maybe some of you out there are listening tonight, or maybe one day you'll be at work somewhere and you'll tune into this archive, and this message that I'm saying right now is for you. That if you're in a job that only recognizes you as an outer being, but you are discovering yourself as an inner being, and you're feeling that compression, the best thing you can do is jump out. Begin the search. There's a threshold of habit and perhaps fear there. but it's worth it to jump over it, to take the leap, because the suffering of being trapped in a situation of where you are doing much less than what you were brought to this planet to do, or what you came to this planet to do, it's unbearable. It's a kind of soul death. And part of the way the universe is set up and the rules of the universal law here go that if you do what you were meant to do, things will tend to go in your favor. See, one of the reasons we perceive life to be a struggle is because many times we swim against the current, and then we blame life for not giving us what we are trying to force. But truly, life might just have had another way. That might have been a better way. It could have more than answered whatever we had hoped was possible. But any time we can release to the current and adapt the outer world that we live in to the inner world that we feel. And this is how we ground spirit into flesh and bring God to the ground and bring light to the world. We live the truth moment to moment. We don't allow ourselves to be less than what we are. We don't compromise. We are courageous. We honor ourselves, and in so doing, learn to honor others. And by example, we demonstrate that possibility. And it's contagious. Because one of the main reasons people allow themselves to be trapped in tough circumstance, or allow their habits to wreak havoc, is because they haven't been shown another way. And see, that's what we're doing here. That's what the Creative Cosmos does. That's what BBS Radio does. We just say, here, this is some way to look at it, another way to look at it. And sometimes that can make all the difference. Just being exposed to such precious information at the right time, it can set free all of your energies. It can be a miracle, a trigger to your own being, to your own understanding of yourself. So we learn to sort everything out that we see as the watcher. We take it in, and we let it pass through, and we remain clean. Because we can say we let go of the past, but if we then accumulate it anew, we have not yet healed or solved that which holds the past. So again and again, we have to clean the slate. And we can say it in many different ways, how we can say a newness, a freshness, a cleanness, a clarity, brilliance of perspective. But I'll tell you, the word I come to again and again is blank. If you are blank, just hanging out there, watching, That's how you become ever-present. That's how you come to know everything in the moment. Because when we try to filter it all through our mind and think about it and say, hey, look at that over there, I want to know this over there, and see, what we can do is we used to be slow and say, hey, I think I understand that, yeah, and oh yeah, I think I understand that over there, oh yeah, but then we got better and better at it. Hey, I can process that, I can think about that, I can think about that, I can think about that, and pretty soon we're burning through all sorts of understandings that we're gleaning from our environment. I know this, I know that, I know this, I know that, I know this, I know that. But if we were to simply observe, we would know it all at once. And there'd be no longer any need to go down all those mental pathways, because we know it already. Sometimes we need to burn through all those mental pathways first to be finished with them. And that's one good way of dealing with it. Cover every single possible thing you could possibly think about. Think about it all. And then when you're done, just relax, kick back, and observe. And get that space. It's that space that makes it all possible. Just observing, you keep that inner space that is yours and yours alone. And by residing there and being aware of yourself, both at that depth and that height and that breadth and that width and that all-encompassing watchfulness, you will always be rejuvenated, because you will always be flowing in your nature. And so you always have the current of the source pulsing through you. And if there's anything about the existence or about the source that we can point to, is that it never tires, it never grows old, it never becomes stagnant, it never dies. And when we become a part of that energy, and we know ourselves to be that energy, we will also know that we will never die, and that we could never die, and all that which was contained in the body, in the mind, could fall away, and we would still remain here as the watchful presence. We could watch all things rise and fall, and yet we will remain watchful, ever vigilant. Simply reflecting and when the Zen finger points to the moon, it points at you. At your own inner moon, the Buddha, which reflects. The being which is there everywhere and nowhere. Resting at harmony inside and at peace in the world created through divine expression on the outer. We remember ourselves. Be the observer. Remember yourself. Again, I will gently, yet firmly remind you, and remind you to remind yourself, be the observer, remember yourself. observer. Well, thank you for tuning in tonight. I appreciate it very much. It is my joy to share my heart song with you every week on the Creative Cosmos Radio Show. Next week, I will have an interchange with the musician, Charlie Bomarito. We'll play some of his music, and we'll play some of my music, and we'll talk about it. I hope you can join us. I'm going to close the show tonight with the song, which is also a meditation, and perhaps can serve as a link for you to find the source within yourself. Here we go. It's simply called Om.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.